Welcome back. Once again, here you are, Drinks with Friends, with your hosts, Madison Ray.
And that guy, Ryan. What's cracking, everybody? It's a lovely, brisk fall Sunday, and life is good.
Yeah. How are you? You know, like, finally the fall has hit. It makes me happy. I'm wearing a sweater today.
Right.
You know, like, it's good. It's a good feeling. Like, pumpkin patches, apple cider.
Yeah.
Bruh, I had this drink over at Caribou. It was a pumpkin white mocha. Mm. That shit, like, changed my life. Mm. It, like, enriched my spirit and, like, put me in the fall mood. Like, for real, for real.
Yeah.
This is my favorite season.
It's like basic with a twist.
Nigga, I'm basic.
Yeah.
Like
you,
I put my leggings on and put my Ugg boots on, you know what I mean?
Like, sounds like a white RN with a son named like Jalen. Like,
so you don't insult Jalen like that.
Basic with a twist.
He's a prince.
Man, fuck Jalen.
Beat that nigga's face. Like, before we go any further, though, of course.
I don't know where that came from, but it felt right.
Yeah, I mean, this podcast is brought to you by our friends at Andro DSM, Power Up,
and Susie Sweet Treats. Secret ingredient is love, not cocaine. Speaking of that whole fall thing, hit Susie up for them caramel apples and the sweet potato pies and pumpkin, if that's what you're about. She does it all.
But listen, yams over pumpkins, caramel, bro. Yams over pumpkins.
Apples, oh, dog. Caramel apples, oh, dog.
I usually don't fuck with caramel apples.
Right. Okay, well, even if you don't fuck with caramel apples, she makes like Oreo apples.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, like the over the top. Like,
right, she'll do like all that fancy things. Of course, they twinkle. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, all that noise. So, yeah, whatever your fall food needs, you know, Susie's Sweet Treats, gotcha.
I love it. So, actually, before we get into the topic, you know, we're fans of comedy.
Right.
If you go through our archives, yes.
Silence that.
We're just going to go ahead and just hit those plugs now. We did some episodes on Dave Chappelle,
right,
and Chris Rock.
Yep.
We've sat with Dante Powell. Yep. Like, we, yep, you know, and we're a couple of wise guys. I wouldn't say we're full-on comedians, but like,
people keep telling me I'm funny.
I mean,
at some point I'm inclined to believe.
It's because you got that sauce, bro.
I try.
You know, like,
I crush it.
Like, we're
every
witty,
I get,
and we're weird, and we're funny.
Right.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Stand-up comedy has always had a place in my heart. Right.
Indeed.
So, at the recommendation of some of our stand-up friends, mm-hmm, you know, there's a lot of buzz talking about, like, some of these other stand-up specials that were going on.
Right.
Specifically, Bill Burr, mm-hmm, and Dion Cole. And so today, let's chop it up.
Yeah.
Because last week you also mentioned that there were some things about Bill Burr.
Yeah.
That, you know what, I won't speak for you. Speak for yourself.
Oh, well, basically, I just posed the question of, like, people were up in arms about Chappelle's most recent stand-up special.
Sticks and Stones.
Yeah, Sticks and Stones, his Netflix special, saying that he was problematic and people were trying to cancel him.
Transphobia, all that.
Right. Yeah. Not like he was, you know, beating off in front of female comedians and under the guise of making sure that their careers don't get advanced any farther. Anything, like, real serious about that. But words matter.
Yeah,
and people felt some kind of way about Chappelle's thing, and I was like, and then for me, I had to take a step back and wonder. I'm like, do I really not see this as that problematic because I'm not the one being lampooned by it? Like,
right.
I don't identify
because you're not the target
who are being hurt.
Yeah,
and then I watched Bill Burr's special, mm-hmm, and I too thought it was hilarious, even though he had much more race-driven comedy in it.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I never once felt attacked. But I just had to ask the question: like, is he really any less problematic than Dave? And why does he necessarily get a pass for the stuff that he says?
Yeah, or not being as targeted as right, heavily because of his content.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted you to watch and see what your thoughts were.
I did.
Yeah.
I watched it a couple times actually.
Mm.
Where should I even really start?
What feels right?
You know, well, he came out of the gate kind of angry, bro.
Well, that's him. That's his comedy. And I think that might be one of the reasons I'm a fan of him, because it, like, kind of speaks to that, like, inner rageaholic in me.
Yeah.
Like, that loves to rant and snap off on things. Like, I've always, like, really enjoyed Bill Burr's brand of comedy because I'm like, yeah, yeah.
For me, it came across a little grating, actually.
Yeah?
Like... why are you shouting the whole time?
Mm.
You know, like, it reminds me of, do you remember, what was that dude back in the day? A little short dude with the long hair. He used to, like, wear, like, the beret and shit. Sam Kinison.
Okay, yeah.
You know, his whole thing was like, these bitches ain't shit! Ah! Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, his whole, like, brand.
Right.
And, like, while it resonates for some, for me, it was just something that was super. I was like, yo, like, pump the brakes. Like, tell me a fucking joke and stop yelling at me, bro. That was actually kind of hard to get through that to really, like, I mean, there were some things. And so to start at the top of the show, like, so he comes out the gate kind of swinging for the fences.
Yeah.
Like he said the problematic shit, like, up front.
Right.
Like.
Which, in my mind, is low-key genius, because for the people who actually sit through the thing, the problematic stuff doesn't stick with you. Like, he moves on to other, some of it funny or some of it not, but, yeah, like, other jokes that just kind of, you, the shit that happened a long time ago, you're like, yeah, okay, like, I forgot all about that. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But this also seems to be, like, kind of right now, because of the kind of climate and the culture that we've developed here right now, is that this seems to be a really central thing that a lot of comedians keep going to, right? Like, this seems to be just like one of the like go-to jokes to talk about this idea of cancel culture, right? PC culture, what's the right thing to say, what's the wrong thing to say, and how that really fits into the notion of what comedy, and specifically stand-up comedy, is really about as an art form.
And what's funny to me, piggybacking off of that, is that I feel like the only comedians, at least the ones that I've seen do it, that really try and like lambast PC culture, are the ones who are established enough and successful enough where they literally don't have to tell any of those jokes and they'd still be fine.
Yeah.
Like, Chappelle and Bill Burr, and I mean, any other nameless comedians that have, are like, that have guest spotted on TV shows that are now in syndication, that have like multiple albums or previous works that are out, that stand up specials like on your streaming services and like through Comedy Central and blah, 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 blah. Like, they have all these alternative revenue streams where even if they were to be canceled, like, the Bill Burr was on Breaking Bad, like, which just had a new movie come out. He's going to be getting those residual checks for however long. That's still considered one of the greatest achievements in American television. Like, he's going to be okay.
Right.
He doesn't have to do this stuff. So for me, it almost feels like lambasting PC culture is just as much low-hanging fruit as going after these, like, minorities that have been ostracized or hurt.
Well, I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and just say that, like, I feel like at least the ones that are doing a good job at it have made the point, and I fully agree that, like, you can't take anything a comedian says seriously. They're not giving a fucking TED talk.
Right.
They're just saying shit that's going to make you laugh. Mm-hmm. Like,
or cringe, or
whatever. Or react. And the thing is, but that's to say that, like, who's to say that's how they even really feel about a thing? They're just saying words that are going to hopefully elicit some sort of reaction
out of you. And get a buzz, because the more people talk about it, the more people are going to want to see it for themselves.
I will say this. Like Bill Burr had a moment in his show where he was like he kind of paused. I think he was getting like a drink of water, and someone went, woo! And he was like, you don't have to do that. Like, I'm cool with the silence. Yeah. Like, don't do that.
Yeah.
If it's funny, laugh. And if not, I'm going to move on. Like, which is like exactly the point, I think, of the art form of stand-up comedy, is that if the shit's not funny, just don't laugh at it, and we're gonna move on to the next joke.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing more than that. It's not fucking rocket science. You don't need to dissect it and analyze it.
Yeah.
If it's funny, laugh. If it's not, don't.
Right.
That being said, like, I'm listening to dude, and I didn't really laugh a whole lot. I didn't find a lot of stuff all that funny.
It was a chuckle stand-up for me.
Yeah. Like, that bit about, like, Michelle Obama being on an arena tour for being a first lady, which isn't really a job.
I actually did kind of laugh at that.
Right, that is kind of funny. That is kind of funny. Like you wrote a book about, like, being married to the president.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more to that than that, obviously, but that's like the core of the joke, is that, like, you're famous.
I believe the exact thing he said was having the forethought to be able to pick the presidential dick out of the room.
Right, which is hilarious. Yes. Right?
I feel like, and for me, like, I laughed at it, and I'm like, but as soon as I was watching, I'm like, people aren't going to like that. You don't come for Michelle. Like.
Right. And that's the thing, is I think the but there's also the notion of, like, recognizing the power of his whiteness.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the thing is, I think what it is that people don't like tone deafness. Mm. But if you're able to really, like, subvert or recognize, and that's where I think the humor really lies. Because he does openly acknowledge. Yeah, like knowing exactly. Mm. You know, and especially like when he kind of starts targeting white women.
Yeah.
And then he's like,
"You're in the hot tub with
us." Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, what's the problem? Like, which Chappelle made the same joke of like, white lady, why are you mad? Like, you were in on the heist. You just mad about your cut.
Right.
Right. So there is that thing of like, how can you be so sensitive when you still have all of this privilege as well? While it may not be as much, obviously, like,
yeah,
like step down, especially as a man who's married to a black woman,
right? Which I had no idea
with a black child until
later in the show when he brought. I had no idea,
right,
that Bill Burr was dipping in the chocolate. Like, no idea.
He's not the same, that, right? You get these layers,
yeah.
Like you weren't right because you make. I think you come in with your own kind of bias and assumptions too, mm-hmm. right? Like. And then...
Because I've watched his stuff before, different. And he's talked about his wife, but he's never mentioned race.
Right.
Which is perfectly fine, because really, it doesn't matter until he was getting into the subject matter that he decided
where it becomes relevant.
Right, to talk about in this special. So.
Yeah, which actually I thought was... So, it's when he started getting into, like, sex dolls and fucking robots.
Yeah.
That I thought it started getting really funny. Mm. You know, because it's like, I think part of, like, why I was kind of turned off at the beginning is because, like you said... It's like this low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear more jokes about PC culture. Like, fucking move on, please.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we get it. Like, what else you got?
Right.
What was I just kind of waiting for? Like, what else?
Yeah.
And when he started to dig in, I was like, okay, here we go.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was the thing that, like, I think there was some deeper material in that, or also then how to, like, navigate these conversations with marginalized people. Mm-hmm. But then also reminding everyone that, like, he is a comedian. He'll say some inappropriate shit to his own wife because he knew there was a laugh there. Or as soon as she laughed, he was like, oh,
I can get another one.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then he overstepped that line. And I'm a habitual line stepper, so I get that.
Until it's not funny anymore.
Right. Well, not funny to the other person.
Right.
Because it can still be fucking hilarious to you.
Right.
You got to take that step back and be like, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't push this one.
Like, skateboards, funny. Airplanes, not.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And if you don't know what that means, watch the special. Go find out for yourself. But that being said, like, I think to circle back to the point or the perspective that you were kind of talking about, like, why is Chappelle a target and, like, Bill Burr not?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because... I mean, I think there's some intersectionality of those things. Like, first, there is that kind of, like, white male privilege, mm-hmm. right? Well, there are some more actually problematic white men,
right,
that are, like going on these just kind of angry white boy rants and kind of doubling down on...
being an asshole. Like,
yeah.
I'm an asshole, and you gotta let me be an asshole.
But also being sexist and racist and homophobic and just, like really just running with that. And you can watch their careers really start to flounder, right?
Yeah.
Like... You know, because like okay, you mentioned Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
He could have bounced back.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean. Like, yeah. Some shit goes down, and that's not necessarily the end.
Mm-hmm.
But his move was then to just like run with that,
right?
Which makes it even he more cringy, right?
To dive headfirst into that demographic that is problematic in and of itself.
Right.
And then got even more mad when people called him out for it and started having people sign NDAs and things like
that. Right. Because, like, okay, there's... and this is really on, the topic. I mean, it's on topic, but it's not what the thing we're unpacking. Right. But so Aziz Ansari,
mm-hmm.
like, had another special that had just come out mm-hmm. this year. And it unpacked some of the thing that was in that scandal with the reporter, right?
Right.
Was it a reporter... It doesn't really matter.
I don't remember.
Her profession isn't relevant to the thing. But the fact of the matter is that he was willing to, like, discuss it and unpack it
mm-hmm.
and really in a thoughtful way come to some sort of understanding, but also still be able to make jokes and do his job as a comedian.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a really brilliant recovery to something that was very, very real and very, very serious.
Mm-hmm.
That... You know, we are human and we do make mistakes and there are some inappropriate things that do happen. But how do we take that accountability and how do we move forward
mm-hmm.
And try to be better at what we do when we've hurt other people?
Yeah.
Right? That being said, there are some comedians, especially these white men, who just don't do that.
Right.
And so, like, Bill Burr didn't hit me as one of those,
mm.
obviously.
Yeah.
But I think there's also a notion that Bill Burr's not also isn't that famous. Like, Chappelle is a hero. Like, he's a pop culture icon.
Yeah.
Chappelle's show, like, made him an institution.
But I can't go as far as to say that Bill Burr isn't that famous. Like, I mean, he's got, like,
a but he doesn't long have he doesn't have that kind of fame.
Career.
Right.
But I also don't think he's been given that kind of opportunity.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, yeah, he hasn't been given that type of opportunity. Like, he does have his own cartoon, which I feel like kind of harks back to what you were saying is about how abrasive he is. Like, he has the Netflix cartoons on, like, has a few seasons, like F is for Family, mm-hmm. where it's basically like a lampooning of an autobiographical account of his childhood.
Right? Kind of like Life of Louie.
Right, exactly, but with F-bombs.
Yeah.
Like, and that's really what it is. And for me, it's like, that's too much. Like, that falls into that wheelhouse of, like we were saying, where he's just like, yo, like, it's just so grating. Yeah. But it's his father, right? And then after watching this most recent stand-up where he tells the story about Christmas at his dad's house, I'm like, wow, that cartoon makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I should give him more of a chance rather than just being like, God, this dude needs to chill.
Like, right? Like, bro.
Like,
chill.
Like, why are you talking to me like that? I would fight you in real life. Like, right, you know what I mean? Right. So, I mean, as far as that goes, he's got a career that's going on like 2-3 decades now. Like, so I can't co-sign that he's not very famous.
Yeah.
Chappelle level, like, household name.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, there's another layer. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Is that there's the upper echelon of fame that I think just then naturally makes you a bigger target. Like Kevin Hart in that same category, right? Yeah. When he says some shit, like, or the shit that he said, then it comes back to bite him because Kevin Hart has become so big. It's,
right.
It's a bigger target. And I think there's also the notion of, like, when you're playing small clubs and you're playing to your, like, diehards, like, you're golden. You can say that you can bomb and still people are like, I loved it. Wasn't great, but I loved it.
Right.
And that's, I think, something that Chappelle didn't talk about was, like, when you get into the bigger space and you're talking to America and you're on these bigger platforms, there is something that where it gets kind of dumbed down because now you're talking to such a broad general audience that the nuance is lost. The wit, it doesn't quite hit as much. Subversiveness and the satire doesn't quite click because you're talking to such a broad audience.
Right.
And I think when you hit that kind of level of fame, that it's a different kind of animal to wrestle with through your art. And I just don't think Bill Burr is there necessarily. Not to say he's not popular and he's not good. It's just he's not at that level. He's not Jerry Seinfeld. He's not Dave Chappelle. He's not Chris Rock. He's not, you know.
Yeah,
and so I think because of that, he can say those things. And he might get to just kind of sidestep some of the think pieces and the hashtags of cancel Bill Burr or whatever because he just doesn't have that big target. It's kind of my like immediate read on why he could say something that might be even more problematic than Chappelle, but at the same time like have none of the consequences.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Dave Chappelle did like 20 minutes on trans people, like.
Yeah,
Bill Burr maybe one joke,
right?
Really, like one he made like one joke about what making a Top Gun sequel or a reboot, right. You know,
with a
trans
goose, like
right. Yeah. So yeah, like part of it is also I think it's one thing to kind of tiptoe up to the subject, make a joke, and move on, versus like just jumping in. Head first and just
doing the Trey Songz dive in.
You know, and so I think part of it is like the when you're kind of in the crosshairs of that kind of topic, and it just kind of keeps going 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and you're like, okay, this is starting to bother me.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing. It was like one kind of tasteless joke. You go, ha-ha, what else you got? Yeah. But you're still talking about this.
So, circling back to Chappelle, because I read this. Somebody shared it yesterday, where the trans person that he had talked about admiring, the trans comedian that he talked about with admiration in his stand-up special, ended up killing herself.
Really?
Yeah. Like just these last couple of days, and people like framed it around like, oh, here's that. The trans comedian that Chappelle was making those jokes about, well, she decided to kill herself, like, you know. And it struck me as sad.
Daphne.
I mean,
what's her name?
Yeah. Sad, not just because another trans human decided to take their own life, which is a travesty in and of itself, but they framed it around like, oh, like almost like it was his fault. And I'm like, I feel like the only people who are taking that stance couldn't have actually watched what he said about her.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, like, yeah, he made jokes. Some of them tasteless. But in response to this particular person, he came from a place of admiration. Like, it takes a lot of courage and a lot of heart to be able to stand up there with yourself and present yourself to the world, regardless of what they may think.
Right.
And so I just thought it was really sad that, I mean, people are so offended by when it comes to jokes that I'm a firm believer in that, like, all jokes are based in some sort of truth or right. someone's truth.
Yeah.
And they completely took what he said about this particular individual out of context just to use it to further promote, like, nastiness.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, I mean, yeah, I remember that set of jokes or the conversation, like, where some were like, you can't just use one trans person as an example of you being cool with trans people.
Right.
That doesn't make you, like, in with the culture or with the community just because you have one person that fucks with you, which is true.
Right.
And I don't think he necessarily meant to spin it that way, to say, I got my token trans friend, so I'm cool with y'all, right?
Yeah.
It was just that he was talking about an experience that he had with one trans woman that he actually then kind of became friendly with, and in the joke ends up fucking. Right. Yeah. Like that's kind of the humor of the thing, right? Yeah. Because you don't expect, especially a black man, to be like, so I fucked her. Like,
right.
Right. Yeah. Like, turns out pussy is pussy. Ha 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 ha. Right. And so while I feel like it's that same kind of thing where it's the looking for a kind of a smoking gun or a gotcha to be like, oh, because you publicized Daphne's career or as a, just a, as a person and put a spotlight on her, that's why she's dead. Right. And that's completely unfair. That's
gross.
I didn't even know that. But especially hearing that, my immediate reaction is like, that's bullshit. That's unfair. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Like, that's not. But that's what gets clicks. That's what gets reads. That, you know, because people
retweet, shares.
Oh, Dave Chappelle.
Had it not been framed like that, I likely wouldn't have seen it myself.
Right.
So.
Right. But let's also talk about Dion Cole.
Yes.
Cole Hearted.
Yeah.
Was, I think, the name of his special.
Uh-huh. First off, Dion Cole is fucking hilarious.
Yo.
Dion Cole.
I didn't know he got it like that. Yeah. I've known about Dion Cole for a long time.
No.
But I didn't know. Bruh.
Yeah. Dion Cole been hilarious. You should definitely go back and check out some of his old stand-ups as well, because like, dude is just, he's funny, like, point blank period.
And I felt like it was relevant to bring this up, obviously, because it's new and we also like try to highlight parts of our our culture and those who are like crushing it.
Yeah.
Because he did.
Yeah.
But also that here's a great example of really good comedy. Raunchy, yes, but really didn't go for any of, as you called, low-hanging fruit.
Right.
Yeah. Basically, like, sex jokes, black stuff, talking about relationships with God and the church and Jesus and all that kind of stuff that's like, Bill Burr said it was like kind of lazy humor to do the comparative thing, like, because he doesn't like to do that, which is why he probably doesn't talk about
his wife's
ethnicity so openly, or at least making it a target of the joke. Dion Cole definitely did all that kind of shit, like... I'm sorry. But you know, so the thing is, I'll say this, like, his special genuinely just made me laugh out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like, was not expecting that, like, on the floor, legitimately just laughing my ass off.
Yeah.
Like, bro.
Yeah, his was one of the ones where I turned on, because I'm a fan of his, I just turned it on as background while I was drawing.
Shout out, Inktober.
Hey! ended up putting the pencil down because, like, after the third or fourth, like, laugh out loud moment, I was just like, hold up, let me just see what this dude's doing.
Right.
And I ended up focusing on it and then watching it.
And so here's, here's the connective tissue, the segue kind of comes. In one of the earlier parts of his special, he talks about, like, the worst threesome he's had in Atlanta, where a girl comes up, it's like, me and my friend were checking you out on Instagram, like, we want to give it to you. And he was like, bet. The friend shows up, and she's 6'7", and like
she looked like a female collegiate basketball player. Like,
yeah,
with, you know, like basketball shorts, slides, and some tall Nike socks with the drawstring backpack.
Right, right. But at the same time, never attacked her femininity necessarily, mm-hmm. or made any jokes about her being manly.
Right.
Just that, like, being in this really aggressive situation, he didn't feel ready.
Right.
He just was not ready, because he still did it. Mm-hmm.
The joke that y'all ain't about to fuck me, but he framed the joke as, this is the worst threesome I ever had, so clearly did fuck him.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing, is like, I think there is something in that kind of rawness, that you're the vulnerability, the realness of, like, especially black men who can be so sensitive, especially when it comes to matters of, like, gender and sexuality.
Right.
That, like, there are legit niggas out here who will not clean their ass because
it's gay.
Because that's gay. Touch
between your butt cheeks.
Right.
Right.
Like, nah, nigga, that's hygiene. Like,
wash your ass.
Like, wash your ass, you nasty motherfucker. Like, if your mama knew.
Oh, she knows. She washed the drawers for how many years? She knows. It probably cussed you out for it multiple times.
And you still didn't learn.
Right.
Disappointed. Disappointed. Anyway, to know that that's a thing. At the same time, like, I know y'all been making some, like, questionable decisions on who you lay down with.
I've seen some of y'all's baby moms.
Like,
call it what it is.
Call you right, right. And the thing is, and this is something I've talked about with some of my closer friends. I come from a place where, like, you don't get to disrespect anybody that you've laid down with.
Yeah.
Like, that's completely unfair and inappropriate. Mm-hmm. Like, you made that choice.
Right, it was good enough for you to...
You caught that body.
Right.
So, like...
Claim it.
Claim it and respect that human being on the notion of a human being.
Yeah.
So, they might be a little heavy. They might be a little tall. They might be a little paraplegic. I don't know. Like, whatever, bro.
Master Ray just told on himself.
I said roll up.
Right.
But that's the thing. That's exactly it. Like, but you chose that person.
Yeah.
Even if it was just for an afternoon.
Yep.
Afternoon delight. you don't get to disrespect those people. Mm-hmm. It's my just kind of, like, worldview on that. Like, don't do it.
Yeah.
So don't do it. That being said, live in that truth. This is actually something that Dion Cole got into later in his special. It was actually, there was a weird flip where, like, he was telling jokes and then it got really
real serious,
like real serious and real sincere.
Yeah.
Like, it became like almost this sermon, mm-hmm. of, like, exist in your truth, mm-hmm. live that to the fullest, and live your best life, like, mm-hmm. truly live your best life, not in some sort of, like, kind of, like,
the levels,
yeah, speak. Catchphrase kind, right. of thing, right? Yeah. But, like, to really, like, cut off those people, you know, that you know. That joke about the levels, exactly. Yeah. Some people are pass-throughs as you're going through the levels in your life. That's not the place to get stuck or the place to stop.
Which is funny because it's like almost like, it's like a principle that I remember from growing up in the black church about the people in your life are there for a season.
Yeah.
Like, everything has its season.
Yeah.
And, like, he basically just converted that into, like, yeah, you're going to go through these levels, seasons, whatever you call it, and people will be there when they're supposed to be, but there comes a time where you might have to leave them behind for you to move on to that next phase of your life. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Maybe when they catch up, where they're in the, you can meet back up with that person, maybe not.
You
know? Like,
and
I mean, shit, you and I went through
that. Yeah. And, and there's some stuff where it's like, but by living in the truth, or your truth, or in that space of honesty, that, like, you don't know what blessings are sitting there for you if, right. you would just speak honestly.
Yeah.
And then he circles it back to a joke about getting a threesome. It's, yeah. fine. You know what I mean?
Like, season of threesome.
Clearly, Dion Cole likes fucking bitches, like, two at a time.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And head from big girls. There were no lies told in that statement also.
Yeah, right, like, right. And that's exactly it. That's like, in that, there is freedom in living that truth.
Mm-hmm.
But also just to embrace what you've done and who you are and what you're about. Mm-hmm. And I think that was something that was really unexpectedly enriching and empowering.
Mm-hmm.
To see a man... in a very free space, being able to have an audience and have people can, like, entertain.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was a good showing, and he made it good points. And it was cool, too, because as he was sitting there talking about it, he made a lot of jokes about women and this, that, and the other, but he made very good and fair points. Like, the points that he made also applied to them, that they shouldn't settle for anything less, like, because they're also going through those levels of their life.
Yeah.
And they have to embrace that. So.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's that, I think it's interesting because he also then talks about, while he really didn't have to unpack anything that was going to be cancel worthy, that he also then at the same time sits on that same podium of stand up comedy is the space,
right,
to have free speech and to share your ideas and to tell a joke fearlessly, mm-hmm, and just to speak on that. And I think, I don't know, that was as cool as shit. Like, I don't know, like, I think I'm a fan. Like, yeah. I think legitimately, like, from watching that, like, this is one of the best specials I've seen in such a long time that genuinely just made me laugh from a very sincere, real place.
Yeah.
Like, and his facial expressions, bro. Like, like, yo, his timing is everything.
Yeah, one of his recurring, and it's a recurring bit, and I'm sure you wouldn't have known that because you haven't seen his older ones, but the part where he pulls out the notepad.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's a recurring bit where he goes, and it goes back to what you were saying as far as Bill Burr goes. Like, if you don't laugh, then, all right, we know how to move on. And he has actually turned that into a tangible part of his act where he says that he's pulling out, like, a piece of paper and has different jokes on it, and he gauges the audience reaction as far as whether or not he's going to tweak it, put it into a further, like, a future show.
Yeah.
And things like that. And there were some of the jokes in there that had been on that notepad in one of his previous special.
No shit.
Like, yeah, and it was, like, slightly different. I'm like, okay, he really did go back in.
Bro, you're going to have me, like, digging up. Now.
Bro,
like,
I'm telling you, Deion Cole is the truth. Like, you should, he's definitely worth the watch, like, for his old stuff. He has another one, like, the, like, Netflix did some comedy show where it was like 10 different comedians. They each had like a small, like a 20-minute set that they had done.
Yeah.
And he was on one of them.
Sure.
And then he has older ones as well, like Comedy Central ones and stuff like that. But yeah, man, YouTube Deion Cole, treat yourself, like, straight up.
Okay. Yeah. Bet. I wonder if he'll ever come through Des Moines.
I don't know.
Because we're, like, on the come up, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Like I mentioned Seinfeld earlier. He was just here at the Civic Center.
Right.
Not to say that the Civic Center is checking for Deion Cole. But at the same time, they just put on Boyz II Men. So, yeah. I don't know.
Man, I mean, Deion Hughley was just here. There's no reason we can't get Deion Cole.
Right. Or Mike Epps.
Yeah.
Like, did I tell you the Mike Epps story?
Uh-uh.
So my mom was on the same flight with him as he was leaving town.
Nice.
And
Mike Epps tried to holler at your mom?
Nah. Oh, okay. Nah. But my mom was like, oh, that's Mike Epps. Like, what's up, Mike?
Wow.
What do you think of Des Moines, Mike? And he was like, man, fuck this place. Yeah. Because the thing is, like, I think part of it is that he's legitimately a star.
Yeah.
And I think Iowans just aren't cultured enough to, like, necessarily, like, unless you, like, have gone out of your way or are black,
yeah,
like, to know who Mike Epps is,
right,
that, like, he just gets treated like any other nigga, you know what, yeah, I mean?
Well, and Mike Epps has very black-centric jokes.
Yeah.
Like,
and so I think there's that bit of, like, when you're a star, and then you get treated like a regular black dude in middle America.
Right.
Like, I think it can leave a bad taste in your mouth, because you're like, bitch, I'm a star.
Right, like, I was in Next Friday.
Right, like...
I'm Day-Day.
Right. You don't talk to Day-Day like that. Really? Like, come on. Get it together. You know, I think there was some situation, like, on the airplane where it's like, he's in first class because it's my guest. And, like, one of these little stewardesses is really like,
sir, you're not supposed to be boarding yet.
Right? Like, you don't talk to Day-Day like that.
Yeah.
Day-Day can sit wherever he wants, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. He wants to fly this motherfucker.
Was he in Salt Plain?
I think so. I'm trying to forget Salt Plain.
All I'm saying is he has a skill set. Anyway. No, it's, and so there is that thing that maybe lay down that challenge. See if we can get Deion Cole here.
Yeah.
Maybe we can get him on the show.
Right. Another one you should watch if you haven't yet is Michael Che's stand-up special.
Oh, I like Michael Che.
Yeah.
I like Michael Che.
Have you seen the one he had on
Netflix? Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. I saw that one. Also, I really liked Hannibal's stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like,
so dry.
It's so dry. Yeah. And that's what's so brilliant about it, that, like, he doesn't have to do right. that, right. you know, like it's that or play that character. Yeah. 'Cause there are a lot of those. And that was always kind of like, so I grew up watching Comic View
right.
on BET.
Yeah.
And there was always
the best thing BET ever had on.
Yeah. But at the same time, there were a lot of comedians that just weren't that good because they were all kind of doing the same thing. You know what I mean? Like it was just, they just weren't brave enough. I mean, I know it takes a level of bravery to go grab a microphone and be in front of a group of people and try to make them laugh. But at the same time, it's like, it felt so dumbed down.
Fruit. Like,
this stuff
that I know is going to make people at least chuckle.
Right, because we've heard those jokes before. Because the ones who have done it really well, like Bernie Mac and Cedric, and at the time Chris Tucker was like real hot. Mm-hmm. You know, like they'd already done that through Def Comedy Jam.
Right,
and so it just felt like a lot of recycled stuff. So like, it's really great to see a different generation of black comics that are able to bring their perspective, their honesty, their own experiences to the thing without actually having to like be that kind of caricature of a black comedian.
Right. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
What's funny is I feel like in modern times, I don't know, I feel like stand-up comedy has kind of gone the way of professional sports where like it's really a black-owned space with a few other groups that have like their bright spots in the genre. But so like ever since basically like Richard Pryor, like,
I mean, when you think about who's like kind of at the top of the game, like usually some of the funniest, like it was like Rich,
Eddie,
and then Eddie, mm-hmm. and then
Chris Rock,
Martin Lawrence, Dave Chappelle, obviously. When you really look at that, at kind of like that Mount Rushmore of the stand up in general, it tends to be more you know, brown faces than not. You know, that's actually really interesting. I'd love to unpack that with some of our comedian friends.
Oh,
that's a definite like direct shout out.
Oh,
hit us up. Let's have that conversation at some point before we end this season. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Because we're running out of weeks.
We got like four or five maybe left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's weird to say that out loud. For real. That's cool. Anyway, let's take it home.
All right. This podcast brought to you by Susie Sweet Treats, Stephen Greening is Love, Not Cocaine.
Yeah. And Android DSM, Power Up. Right. Thank you so much for listening, of course. Drop us a comment, like, share, all the stuff. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. Make it happen.
Right. We trying to blow up. We say we need your help.
Right.
We'll catch y'all next week. Same black time.
Same black channel.
All right. Peace.